my newsletter was two-ish thousand subs for many, many months, a year probably. I got one article on CNN.com. It went up by 9,000 in 4 days.
Hey, friend. It's David Nabinsky here in New York City. So excited for this podcast episode with Kay He. Kay's had a very successful career on Wall Street for 15 years, and then he decided to leave. For the last 5 years, he's been a solopreneur, and we talk a lot about anti-fragile careers and how to get leverage with the projects that you're building. Kay is the current founder of Rad Reads. He publishes two newsletters a week that reach over 20,000 people. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can also subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Kay.
Cool. Welcome to the show, Kay.
Thank you. It's great to be here, David.
So it's funny. We were just getting started and we're like, all right, so we're going to talk for 4 hours.
I like to talk. You see how much I like to write. Put that in, you know, put a beer in front of me and some friends, that I could do that forever.
One thing I actually am curious about was Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
Tell me what you loved about that game.
Oh, wow. Good question. It's a very complex strategy game. It's a complex strategy game that is not, there's an element of luck, but it's not a deterministic outcome, like blackjack or something. And so I loved that. And there were so many degrees of freedom, right? You had, you know, there were all these different, I forget what they're called, but there are colors, but like tribes, you know, and you have a tribe that's more aggressive. You have a tribe that's more magical. You have a tribe that's more about healing, and you can kind of mix and match all of like these combinations. And there was just so much strategy and creativity involved in it. And, you know, something that I think about less now, but was very much in my DNA. It's extremely competitive. The stakes were high. You could win a lot of money doing it. Like, I wasn't so into, I'm not a like fan. I don't read fantasy books. I'm not into, you know, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. Like, it's just not a genre that I gravitate to. So I didn't actually care that much that it was dragons versus elves versus sorcerers. But the, you know, they could have been, it could have been like fantasy football. It could have been, it could have been some kind of like, you know, Settlers of Catan or some war game. It was more just the strategy piece to it.
Interesting. Okay. It's really interesting to hear that as you talk about strategy, competition, freedom, and I'm trying to draw parallels to kind of the real world and careers and stuff like that. One thing that I'm curious about is, spent a lot of time on Wall Street, and, you know, as you think about a portfolio career, it's, you know, you can make the analogy to a stock portfolio or investment portfolio. Clearly your portfolio has changed since those days, but just would be kind of curious to, you know, how you think about a portfolio career and kind of where you're kind of spending your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, portfolios are great because of modern portfolio theory, which states that, you know, you can combine assets that zig and zag, and together they could actually produce a better return while reducing your risk. Like, that's so freaking cool to me, that like you can have things that by themselves have less potential, but you put them together, they have more potential, and they also become less risky. And so it's kind of like, it's something I've always tried to apply to my life. So, you know, while I was on Wall Street, it was a very, you could say all my eggs were in one basket, in the sense that I was all in on that career track, that industry. And I was in a very thin sliver of that industry. Like, I evaluated strategies where computers made investments. So it wasn't even like, I have no view on whether you should buy Facebook or Google. But I did have a view as to what the correlation, long-term correlation might be between Facebook and Google, and how much you should buy if things got out of whack or not, based purely on the statistics. You could say, wow, that is a narrow focused career. There are probably 200 people in the world that did that job across levels. But here's the portfolio part. I became a young manager. And so to my arsenal of skills, I immersed myself in what does it mean to be a good manager? And a lot of the things that I write about today, we were talking about it earlier, delegation, communicating with a teammate, finding leverage, right? I mean, this is something we should probably come back to. How do you find leverage in these kind of companies of one full stack freelancer? So that was one of my portfolios. That was one of my diversifiers, like learning how to be a good manager. Productivity. It's no surprise, you know, the amount of writing and teaching I do around productivity. It's because part of what made me excel, I believe, in my career on Wall Street was I was just way more organized than everyone else. So all these tools that I'm teaching courses on now, I've been using them since I was 21 years old. I'm 41. You know, I read David Allen's GTD book when I was 23, and I still to this day apply lessons from it every single day, 18 years later. So that was another diversifier. What was another one? I don't like the word, but it'll make sense to you and your listeners. I was a very prolific networker. I had my own philosophy about networking, which was generosity first. Like, you're serving others. You don't want anything yourself. Like, my goal was to improve other people's lives through my networking. And I became a very kind of connected person on Wall Street, which was actually the origins of RadReads. And so you could see how something so narrow, like this guy evaluates computer-based trading strategies, was actually quite a diverse career. I didn't fully realize that at the time. And so fast forward to today, and I remember, you know, we're still in the pandemic, but in the early days of the pandemic in the US, I refer to it the day they canceled sports, March 12th, I believe that was. I said to myself, oh crap, because I'd been an entrepreneur for 5 years at that point, 4.5 years, but nothing in my portfolio of revenue generating activities was recurring. Like, I was all hunter gatherer, no SaaS. And so I had to eat what I killed from coaching. Coaching was a big part of my revenue for a while. Eat what you kill, consulting, smaller part, speaking, smaller part. The only SaaS-like recurring thing I had were donations, but you know, they were sizable for donations, but they weren't like sizable for me to like live off of them. And I had this budding Notion course. I had done two of them at the time the pandemic hit. And so I had a portfolio, but I was kind of, and they're all, you know, and what the pandemic taught me, I write a lot about anti-fragile careers. It's like, oh wow, I was actually very well situated in that my whole life was digital, right? So the pandemic didn't affect my operations. It didn't affect the way I interacted with clients. And thankfully, my clients also were quite digitally savvy and it didn't affect their work. But I very well could have owned a local surf camp that would have been shut down for 4 months. Probably would have gone out of business. I probably would have walked on it. And so I got lucky. Like, and I try to think, well, what's something that could, you know, crush digital? Like, I don't know, if we had like a massive multi-month internet outage, like cyber war, like things like that. I don't think they're crazy high probabilities, but it did make me think, you know, as I look at my portfolio of careers, like I should add something physical in the physical world. And so I don't know what that is yet. I might add a little bit of real estate investing. It's not really a business, but I have too much of a footprint in the digital world now. And I would like to diversify myself a little bit into the more physical, but at the same time, like the BlackRock story, I also want to diversify my skills. Like, I think my skills are becoming too digital centric now. And I would like to know what it's like to, I don't know, install something or fix something with my hands, or architecture, leasing, you know, things that are more real world type business considerations.
And so those are kind of lessons from COVID and pandemic of just how to be more anti-fragile.
Yeah.
After this massive stress test.
Absolutely. And I think that's what, I mean, so much of the Rad Reads philosophy, like the Rad OS, I call it, is it's like three-pronged. Like you would think it's all about the systems and the tools, you know, Notion and full, you know, the tools we use as freelancers and blogging and all that. But really, it's actually three things. The tools are one thing, but tools by themselves, that's when you fall into the shiny new toy syndrome, which is, you know, tools for the sake of tools. And so to complement that, the tool or the system, you need to have the self-awareness. Like, what do I want from this? Is it diversified enough? What could go wrong? Is it aligned with my values, right? So that's like the self-awareness part of the three-pillar Rad OS. And then there's the behavior change, where you could have the best system, like the best journaling system or the best note-taking system, but if you don't input your notes into the system, it's pointless. Mm-hmm. But if you don't ask yourself, like, why do I even want good notes? Then you might be wasting your time. And so I try to think about the self-awareness and the behavior change. So this specifically came from a reflection that's like, okay, this, I came out of this, you know, touching wood, feel very fortunate, you know, relatively unscathed professionally and actually personally, health-wise, my family's all healthy. Again, touching a lot of wood. But what could knock me off? You know, what if online teaching, or what if people just never wanted to pay for coaching again? What could cause that? How would I reposition myself? So I'm kind of like always kind of scanning the landscape.
Okay. So let's go back to leverage.
Okay.
As we think about the freelancer, as we think about the solopreneur, as we think about the creative, let's talk about leverage and how it can fit into the portfolio theory for a full stack freelancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So leverage is very, very challenging for a solopreneur because there's not that many, assuming you're not willing to grow your team, and we can talk about that, but there's not that much leverage. Like if you're a solopreneur, what are your assets, right? It's your skills, your distribution, right? Your reach, your relationships, mostly your time, right? So as a solopreneur, I always say, and this is why I think people paint a very idealistic picture of solopreneurship. Solopreneurship is every morning waking up, deciding out of a list of 100 things, what are the 100 things you could be doing? Narrowing it down to the two or three that you should be doing, doing them, then servicing them with ops, with support, whatever, promotion, marketing. And then if you're lucky, reflecting on whether you actually did a good job of it, and then thinking about how you're going to do that tomorrow. It is so much easier to walk into a job and go to your boss and say, what do you need me to do? Even if he or she is an a-hole. And I don't think people realize that about especially solopreneurship. Entrepreneurship, like with company, has there's its own set. I'm not as much of an expert as at like, you know, company entrepreneurship. But I don't know, man. I don't think most people want to do that for years at a time. Layer in the income volatility. Layer in the fact that it's hard to explain to people what you do, right? The identity question, right? It's, mm-hmm. It's easy to have this conversation now, but you wouldn't be reaching out to me for a podcast interview when I have 300 subscribers. That was the first 2 years, right? No one wanted to talk to me. You know, these are all things. So, okay, so leverage. So we've established that you have a limited amount of time, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week. You know, if you have a family, that's even a lot. And so the first point of leverage is tool leverage, right? And tool leverage is great. I mean, that you mentioned the full stack freelancer a lot, where, you know, I can things like Notion, Zapier, Airtable, Buffer, social, you know, CRMs, like Teachable. I mean, it's crazy. I've spent, you know, probably $1,000 a month on tools for a mid six figure business. So that's an incredible tool leverage. There's idea leverage, right? Where, you know, some people could call that branding, but, you know, what's a good example of that? When I'm calling anti-fragile careers, I'm promoting an idea of Nassim Taleb's for free, right? That's phenomenal idea leverage. Some people call it branding. So, you know, that probably helps him somehow. He'll probably link to his book, or I've, you know, linked to his book, and people will buy it, and that will make him money. So that's another form of leverage, distribution leverage, relationship leverage, right? My newsletter was two-ish thousand subs for many, many months, a year probably. I got one article on CNN.com. It went up by 9,000 in 4 days. Wow. Like, there's nothing I can do by myself to recreate that. Nothing. I couldn't even buy that. I mean, I could buy it from like Russian bots, but I couldn't even buy that traffic through Facebook ads, because I'd have to convert it and onboard it and all that. So, you know, it's funny, as a solo creator, often I think that the best thing I could do would be to pitch mega publications blog posts. That probably like would be the most high impact thing for me to do. I don't really want to do that. So I don't, but I think about it often, especially when I do stupid things like A/B test forms to see if they convert at 3.1 versus 3.32, where like I probably could get guest post in a top 10 newspaper with like some hustle. That would be infinitely more higher return on time than me A/B testing some form that gets, you know, 200 hits a week. So that's another form of leverage. And then obviously you have people leverage, like hiring contractors and VAs and things like that. I'm just starting to dabble my toes there.
Sorry to give you some homework after this to pitch some articles, but and your newsletter, has that been a kind of a ongoing source for, call it, new services, new products and service? Like, how have you been thinking about like growing this list? And then also, and while you're thinking about this, I also have this idea of that people are one email away from a new amazing relationship, a new project, a new collaborator, you name it. Mm-hmm. So given that your email distribution has been a key piece of your business, would just be curious about those kind of ideas.
So I love email. I hate Slack. I don't really like Twitter. I hate Instagram, hate Facebook, hate LinkedIn. Who doesn't? But to me, email, and again, it goes back to my values. My values are like a little bit different than most entrepreneurs. One of my values is to always be using my creative talents and energy every single day, which is another way of saying like, I want to do things that I find fun and creatively rewarding, which is not probably the best business strategy. But I love this tweet that Tiago resurfaces every couple weeks, where he's like good luck if you're competing with someone who's having fun. So I'm guided by fun. And when I stop having fun on something, like my podcast, I just stopped doing it. And that might seem like bad business. It's, am I leaving money on the table? Probably. I mean, I did 52 weeks of a podcast. Like, there was some kind of sunk cost or some accrued knowledge that I had. People liked it too, but just thought I didn't have fun. But I believe that in the long run, if I'm always having fun, it never feels like work. I don't want to be the person competing against me. I write 2 to 3 email newsletters a week for 5 years. 95% of the time, it doesn't feel like, it's like, oh, cool. Like it'd be, I love surfing. It's not at the level of surfing, but it would be like along the lines of, you know, watching a Netflix series, like same enjoyment level. So I'm very much guided by the principle of fun. And to me, like the ability to experiment creatively is, I find very fun. In terms of, so that's the starting point of my newsletter. And so I do it and it feels very natural. It's kind of like my notebook where I'll read something. You know, I'm trying to learn Zettel Kasten, this like weird note-taking method. So I read a book on, like I read a, like the opening chapters of a book and I kind of thought about the ideas. And for me, writing something down like cements my thinking or clarifies my thinking. And so for me, the best way to know if I even like understood what I read is to write a blog post, like an email about it. So I write an email about it. And that's kind of how, like my, that's my Thursday email where I write about systems and tactics and tools. And my Saturday email is a little bit more introspective and it's like the original email that has link blogging. That's just like things that I read that I found interesting. And then I added an essay that was more to provoke some kind of deeper thinking. So, you know, that self-awareness part. So again, it's like, it's kind of like selfish because it's, I find it fun. It's selfish because it's things I want to work on and learn. It's selfish because, you know, there's like a testing element, like, oh, do people respond to this? And so that's my email strategy and people respond. I respond to every single email people send me. It's probably like 150 emails a week. And some are very quick, like, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for saying that. Others, like if someone spent an hour, you know, I could tell someone spent like 40 minutes writing to me. I've spent 40 minutes writing to people who I admire. Then I'll write back. I might not write back like 40 minutes worth, but I'll like engage in a conversation. And, you know, Paul Graham has this famous essay, Do Things That Don't Scale. Again, people would be like, that's bad business, right? That's like anti-leverage, like responding to every single email that randos send you. But again, that's what I want to do. That's what I feel is aligned with my values. So from that, and I shared it today because I crossed 20,000 email subscribers and have a 55% open rate. Since September of last year, I've sent 850,000 emails because I email a lot.
Total.
And 55%, 400,000 of my emails have been read since September. And again, that's why you don't want to compete with someone who's having fun. Like you read my emails and you could see there's a personal touch to them. I'm putting words in your mouth, but I suspect I've been told that people are like, wow, you really... like you take these seriously. Like you're not like hiring a ghostwriter. You're not outsourcing it to an intern. Like you are sitting there and muscling through it. Like we could just tell. And my voice, that's the other thing about email, is that, you know, take two emails a week for 5 years, right? That's like, you've heard from me 500 times in the past 5 years. Like you feel like you kind of know me if you've been a subscriber for a while.
And has that also led to, you know, business relationships and stuff? And that's all through client base, everything comes through email?
I mean, email and blogging I use interchangeably because I email first and then turn it into a blog post. So let's just like lump those in as one thing. But yes, so for example, I have a coaching practice. For a long time, it was 70% of my revenue. You'll never see on my website that I'm a coach. So, but what happens is in my emails, I'll tell a story of like about me being coached, about a question I ask my coachees. And so that happened. That's how I generated that business. In the early days of my Notion obsession, I was just sharing. Again, I'm a big believer of learning in public because people want to attach to your learning journeys because it makes theirs easier, especially if they're interested in the topic. Like who on the internet's not interested in productivity. So I take people on these learning journeys. And what I realized was I was taking people on this Notion learning journey and I loved it. I use it all the time. right, was in the app like 4 hours today. It's like my Google Docs. And all these people were watching my videos and reading my posts, and they said, we see how you use it. We don't know how to do that. So then the light bulb went off. I was like, well, I can teach them. And so that's how the course started. The course is now 80%, like 90% of my revenue. It's growing like crazy. So, you know, email is how I got that's how I got my foot in digital media. That's how the CNN, this article that got me the 9,000 new subscribers. That's how that happened. The reporter was on my mailing list. So everything good that has happened to my business is the result of my mailing list. But the thing is, here's what's tricky. And again, this is why you can't compete with someone who's having fun. None of it was strategic, right? I didn't like say like, I'm going to be a coach, so I'm going to plant little fragments about coaching. No, I didn't say I'm going to start a Notion course. I was like, this thing is so cool. So again, when you're motivated by fun and passion and creative energy, people feel it, right? Which is why if I lose interest in a podcast, I'm not forcing it. People will feel it. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to anyone. Everyone loses. And so that's kind of, so to answer your question, yes, everything. I mean, think about it, right? It's like 50% open rate, 10,000, 20,000% email. That means that every twice a week, 10,000 people, many of whom are doing great things, you know, connected, rich, successful, whatever, pick your favorite identity. They're like, oh, that K guy again. Oh, that was a cool thing he sent. I like him. He's a smart lad. Think about it. Like how, talk about leverage. Like where else in the world can you have, you know, 20,000 people each week be like, oh, that's a smart guy, or that's an interesting guy, right?
Yeah. And subscribed. They've opted in.
Yeah. And they've opted in and they've stayed. Yeah. That's where the pressure's on me.
But you're having fun.
Yeah.
I've been having a ton of fun on this conversation. And is there anything else that you think we really missed here as it relates to a portfolio career, anti-fragile careers? And then please let listeners know how they can follow up and stay part of your fun learning journey.
Yeah, I would say, so the one thing that is in that self-awareness component, it's just a fun question. So I'll leave your listeners with this fun question. And the question is, it's one of my coaching questions. See, I did it again. It's one of my coaching questions. What is the pebble in your shoe? And what I mean by that is you're walking, there's something lodged in your shoe. It's small, it's kind of annoying, but it's like really deep in your sock, you know, by your toes. To remove it would like, you'd have to stop what you were doing. You have to take your sock off, shake it out, put it back on, retie your laces, keep walking. It's not annoying enough to actually stop. Now, think about that analogy in your life. It could be a behavior of yours, could be a relationship, could be a thing you do, a thing you don't do. It could be an unscratched itch. It could be a desire. That pebble, it never goes away. And it can become more annoying with time. You can become more numb to it with time, which doesn't mean it's not there and bothering you. You've just like numbed it out. What is that thing? What is that pebble in your life? And do exactly that metaphor. Stop walking. Take off your sock, examine the contents. Think about it. Some of these you can't, you know, if you have a bad relationship with a sibling, you can't just like, you know, take the pebble out, but start, because those things don't go away. In fact, they compound, right? They're kind of anti-leverage, right? Think about it. You had a bad boss once and you just kind of like brushed some of the things that he or she said under the rug, and they kind of sat on, like lingered, and then you'd get home and you'd like be frustrated and you'd snap at your partner, or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And then you're like, well, like, they had nothing to do with it. Like, these things have anti-leverage, right? Pebbles are anti-leverage. So self-awareness, diagnose, remove or work towards removal, and then continue. And so I would encourage you and all of your listeners to at least contemplate that question with compassion and curiosity, not like no judgment, like, I can't believe I let this jerk of a boss ruin my life this way. No, it's like, how curious that when the boss says X, I do Y. Why might that be? What could be different? Do I have agency in this? Do I have options?
Amazing. The pebble.
Yes.
And as we talked about the newsletter and the blog, how can people follow up?
Super easy. Radreads.co, nocom.co. Sign up to the newsletter. It's right on the top of the homepage. That's the main source of everything. And then probably the most active I am is, I'm most active on Twitter. So it's K-H-E, you'll put in the show notes, but it's my full name, K-H-E-M-A-R-I-D-H.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Kay. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, David.
Hey, friend. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Wanted to also let you know about my monthly newsletter called One Email Away, where I fundamentally believe that we are all one email away from new opportunities. And if there's a way that I could potentially help you to connect with other people, I would love to do that. So One Email Away, you can sign up for my newsletter on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. You can also see the One Email Away section, but just want to take this moment to say thank you for listening to this episode. Really excited for us to build and grow our portfolio careers together.